Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chof Aleph, and we're starting at the very, very top of the Amud, on the top line. The connection between this Gemara and the previous Gemaras is not automatically evident from the very beginning, but as you'll see in another few lines, one of the major aspects of the story involves a Guda Re'ia. A Guda means a wall, Re'ia means that it is infirm, unstable. And you remember we had in our Mishnah that if Chas V'Shalom you are in a city, Shiyesh Bo Dever Oy Mapoilis. Mapoilis means, as you know, Chas V'Shalom, a collapse of a building, of a wall. So then that city has to be Misana or Misras. The Orem around it have to be either Misana or Misras. And we had in the Braisa that it's not just any building collapse, it had to be a building that was a Berea. And at the same time, it was also an Eina Re'uya Lipoil. And we gave examples in the Gemara yesterday. So we're going to continue talking about a story involving an unstable wall. Zuch the Gemara, top line. Ilf of Rabbi Yochanan, Havagar Sibi Araisa. Ilf and Rabbi Yochanan were learning together Torah. Techik Lehu Milza. And both of them had the same problem. Techik Lehu Milza. Tuva, they had a problem with Parnasa. Amri, and they said about themselves, Nekum v'nezel v'nebet iska unekayim b'nafshin, efes ki lo yeh b'cho evyoin. Let us go out and do some work, and we'll be mekayim the pasuk. Efes ki lo yeh b'cho evyoin, that you should not have aniyim v'evyoinim among yourselves, among Klal Yisrael. At the rate we're going to be, or we're presently, evyoinim, says Rabbi Yochanan, or said Ilfo, they said it both together. So, if we go out to work, we won't be evyonim. Ozlu, so they went, oisvi tuse guda re'ia. They were sitting together under an infirm wall, like on like a park bench, so to speak, right next to the wall. Presumably they weren't even aware of the fact that it was an unstable wall, because otherwise, ein soimchen al anes, like we had in the Gemara yesterday. You can't go and put yourself in a dangerous position relying on a potential miracle. So says Yimoravikal Karchi Rifta, they were eating. Karchi Rifta is an expression of breaking bread, which means they were eating a meal. Also, three Malachi Asharis, two Malachim came, Shamei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan overheard them speaking. The Yomachad the Chavrei, that one Malach said to the other, Nishti Alayu, Hai Guda, let's go and push this infirm wall over the two of them. The Niktalinu and Chas V'Shalom, we will kill both Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Why? After all, every moment that they are learning, they are being oisik in chai olam haba. And they want to push all of that aside and be oisik b'chai isha, worry about parnasa. Not that parnasa is not an important thing, but for these two great giants, Rashi says a little bit further down that Ilfa was even a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan, which is almost unbelievable, because Rabbi Yochanan was one of the all-time greats. We have him virtually every blot in Shas. But Ilfa was even greater than him. And what does it say about the two of them? That they wanted to leave over Torah learning and go into Parnasa. Amalei idach shevkinu, the ikabahu chad, the kaimalei shata. One of the two malachim responded and said, you know what, let's not push the wall over them, because one of them is Kaimalei Shata. What means Kaimalei Shata? Rashi says on the third line, Osil his gadel, he will eventually become very great, the Ein Zaman Elomus, and it's premature to Chas V'Shalom to kill him now. He has many good years ahead of him as a Gadol B'Yisrael. Now this was a discussion between the two Malachim, and says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Shama Ilfa Lo Shama. Rabbi Yochanan heard the conversation, Ilfa did not. Omle Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa. So Rabbi Yochanan wanted to confirm that, and he asked Ilfa, Shama Mar Midi, did you hear anything? Did you hear some chirping, some noise in the back? You know, no, Omle Loi, I didn't hear anything. Omar, so said Rabbi Yochanan, Midishami Ano, the Ilfa Loi Shama, by the fact that I heard and Ilfa did not hear, Shma Minyala Didi Kaimali Shata, this message was intended for me and not intended for Ilfa. Because if it was intended for Ilfa, then Ilfa would have heard it. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, you know what, Ihader, I'm going to return to the Kosle Beis HaMedrash, V'uki ben Avshoyin albi Mekayim, about myself. Not the pasuk that we quoted a moment ago, Efes Kiloye Becha Evyoin, but rather Kiloyechtal Evyoin Mikerev Oretz. Unfortunately, until Yemois HaMashiach, and perhaps even beyond, Lo Yechtal Evyon, there will never be a time that there won't be Aniyim Evyoinim. So I'm going to be that Evyoin, says Rabbi Yochanan, because I will continue learning. So Rabbi Yochanan Hoda, Rabbi Yochanan returned to the Kosle Beis Medrash, Ilfa Lehoda, but rather Ilfa went on a business trip. It says, Adu Osa Ilfa, by the time Ilfa returned for the business trip, it doesn't tell us how long that was, but whatever the time was, by the time he came back, Malach Rabbi Yochanan had been appointed as the new Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva. Now the expression Molech, of course, comes from the word Melech, and simply one could say that means, you know, he became the new religious leader, the big Rosh Yeshiva. He became the Melech, so to speak. And therefore Melech is not to be interpreted literally, it's interpreted on a spiritual level. He became the spiritual king. However, Rashi adds to that, that just like there is the halacha, then you have a Kohen Gadol, that after a Kohen Gadol is appointed from among the ranks of the Kohanim Hedyotim. So the Pasuk says, V'akohen ha-gadol mi-echav, gadluhu mi-shel-echav, that all of his brethren are supposed to go and give funds to make the Kohen Gadol Gadol, not only in the spiritual sense, but also in the monetary sense. Says Rashi, the same thing applies to the Rosh Yeshiva. The minig was, once a person was appointed to Rosh Yeshiva, even though until now he was an Oni Ve'evyoin, from this point on, Megadlin Oisai Mishalehen Umashirin Oisai, they take up a fund, so that this Rosh Yeshiva doesn't, Chas V'Shalom, have to run around collecting funds, but rather he should be recognized as the Melech, so to speak. So Amru Lai, so they said now to Ilfa, Rashi has two different pshatim, what this is, Beloshin Nichusa or Beloshin Bitmia. But on a simple level, what they're saying to Ilfa is, since you, Ilfa, are even a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan, if you would have sat, the word osiv is like Beloshin Yeshiva, if you would have continued sitting, Bekoisli Habis Medrash, Vigoris, and learning, then Rabbi Yochanan would not have been the new Rosh Yeshiva, but you would have taken over as Rosh Yeshiva. So, when Ilfa heard this, he had a little bit of a chalisha sadas, as if people are saying, it's a shame that you left the Kosle Beis Medrash, and therefore, in a sense, you were not promoted, you were demoted, because Rabbi Yochanan took over the position that you might have had. So Ilfa wanted to reassure his Chassidim, his Talmidim, his peers, that although he went into business, we shouldn't think that Chas V'Shalom, he closed his Gemara. He continues learning, even though he's traveling and doing business. And in fact, he says emphatically, Ozal Tolanafshi Be'iskari Desvinter. He climbed up to the mast at the top of a boat, and that was, I guess, the highest point, so to speak, in the town. And Omar, he said, so he said that if anybody can ask me about the Makoyer, the basis, the origin of a Brice of Reb Chiya and Reb Oishia, and we've learned many times throughout Chas that the Brices of Reb Chiya and Reb Oishia were considered to be the most authentic among all the Brices, or the Brices were also Choshev, but didn't have that same level of authenticity and correction as those of Rechiv Rav Oishia. So he said, if anybody can go and show me or ask me about a Brice of Rechiv Rav Oishia, v'lepashtin le'masisin, and I cannot find some mekoyer, some source of those Brices from a Mishnah, nafil me'askar desvinta, I'm going to let myself fall. In other words, Chas V'Shalom, I'm going to commit suicide. He probably didn't mean that literally, but he meant that to emphasize in a very graphic way that Baruch Hashem, he still knows his learning, he hasn't forgotten it just because he has decided to go on the path of Parnassa. So in the film, I don't disagree with you. It is a very, in that sense, it's a difficult gemara. Is Nafil Miaskari, Desvinta, Chas V'Shalom, I'll fall down. He doesn't say that I'll apil atzmi. He says, nafilna, I'll fall. So maybe he did that to cushion the comment that you just made now, Brother Shai, al tiftach ben l'satan. He's saying, not that I would commit suicide, chulila, but I will let myself fall, so to speak, from the svina, but tabana, chulila, I might drown. Also, so Husaba came, and I'm sure Barry will tell us immediately who the Hasub Saba is.
Except for Shabbos, so I'm Gimel, it's Eliyahu HaNavi, according to Tosfos and
Chulim. Beautiful.
Yeah,
Vav Amid Aleph. Top choices, a short choices that says typically all Husabas is Eliyahu HaNavi, except for one reference in Masechta Shabbos where that Lechayra doesn't work out. Anyway, so Eliyahu HaNavi comes disguised as a Husaba, Tonalei, and he asked him the following. It says in the Braisa, Ho ayin mer tenu shekel libonai bishabos, v'hein ru'uyen los islehem sela, no islehem sela. You have a father who passed away, and before he passed away, he left over a trust document, and the trust document, he appointed a trustee, and that trustee was authorized every single week to give to the children of the niftar a shekel for Shabbos, for their hoitzois, for their expenses. Shabbos is lav davka for Shabbos Kodesh. Rashi says it means l'shavua, for the week. So he gave them a week's allowance, if you will. Now the problem is, says Rashi, that are not a problem, but Baruch Hashem, yesh lo banim harve. This person had many children, and, in other words, one of the sons of the nifter in turn had many children, therefore the nifter had many einiklach, and now the son says, when my father passed away, a shekel was enough. But now it's a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and a shekel just doesn't do it, especially if there was inflation. And therefore he says, I need a sela. Sela is two times a shekel. So I need a double allowance. Says the Braisa, no islehem sela. You do give a sela. Now notice the father didn't say, give only a shekel. He said, give a shekel. So, yesh b'chlal masayim mana. If the fellow needs a sela, then, as the Gemara is going to say in another two lines, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. We're going to go and look into the mind of the nifter and try to figure out what would he do under the circumstances. And since he loved his children and his grandchildren, and he wanted to give them an allowance every week, if in fact this son cannot make it, we will assume that the father wanted to give more and give more. However, the Imam Arbif, he said, Al titn lehem ela shekel. No, I only want to give them a shekel. And the reason why he only would want to give him a shekel, says Rashi, is because he wanted to incentivize all of his children to make parnasa. He didn't want them to go on vacations all the time and to sit outside tanning themselves in the sun during the summer. He wanted them to work. And therefore said, maximum, give him a shekel. Well, if that's the case, you know, shekel, then you can only give him a shekel. However, the Braisa continues. Im Omar, Mesu, Yirshu, Achidim, Tachtehen. What happens if he says that after my children pass away, I don't want the rest of the funds to fall to my Eniklach, but rather I want some or a portion or all of the remaining funds to go to my good friend Yankel and my good friend the Beryl? So therefore, since he left what we call a residuary interest in his estate for other people, then even if he didn't use the magic words, Al titnu lahem ela shekel, he just said, tenu shekel abonai, then you have to go and give them only a shekel. Why? Because we see from the document that it was his intention to benefit those other individuals who are enumerated and listed in the document. And so therefore, we cannot deny them their potential residuary interest. And therefore, if he said, give my children a shekel, just give them a shekel. Amalei. So now Husaba says to Reb, to Ilfa, who's hanging there at the mast of the boat, Homani, who is the author of these thoughts, of this halacha, which appears in the brises of Reb Chiya and Reb Oishia, Evidi Mara, that's Reb Meir, he, Yom Mitzvah Kayim de Riyames, that was his halacha, which is quite famous, that you're supposed to go and fulfill what the mess wanted. Now, if you just fulfill what it says in writing, that's no grace of chidush. Anytime you have a contract, you have a document, you have to follow what it says. The point in the mitzvah of Kain Devar Yemes is that we look into the mind of the nifter, and we try to do what the nifter would have wanted had he been alive. Since unfortunately he passed away, there's no way of asking him. Well, I mean, you can ask him, but there's no way that he can answer your question. So under those circumstances, mitzvah of Kain Devar Yemes, you go and try to figure out what his intentions were, and you try to implement them. And that's the end of this story. And again, the story focused on the Guda Re'ia. And now we come to a new story, which also deals with an infirm house or wall, similar to the Mapoilis of our Mishnah. And this story is perhaps one of the most famous stories in Shas. Amr Olav Nachum Ish Gamzu. Now, the whole world calls him Nachum Ish Gamzu, and as we'll see in Yetshem in another few lines, because he was, customarily, he would say, Gamzu L'toyva. But, as we know, the Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that he was originally called Nochem Ish Gimzoi, because Gimzoi is the name of a town or a city. And where is this town or city? Says the Rabbeinu Chananel, look it up in Divrei Hayomim Beis Chofches. Well, in fact, I looked it up, and there is a pasuk there, and the pasuk refers to the town or the city of Gimzoi. And he, Nochem Ish, he was Nochem, an individual from Gimzoi. Now, there's a long Rabbeinu Chananel. In my Gemara, it's roughly 7 or 8 lines before the wide lines. But in other Gemaras, I think it's a little bit further down. But wherever you have it, it says, Amru Olav Anochem Ish Gimzoi, Sheimakamu. Ah, you're wondering, how do I know? Raya Alamita Sadobra, I'll bring you proof. Divrei Hayomim Beis Chofches, Hu Shenikra L'shem, that's how he got the name. Shem Achas Ayoreis is Gimzoi. So that's the real truth. That's how he got his name, Ish Gimzoi. But we'll see later in the Gemara that this was changed, if you will, to Ish Nochem Ish Gamzu, because he said Gamzu L'toy. So let's wait until we get there. Anyway, so what about this Nochem Ish Gimzoi? Shah Yasuma Mishtei Einav. Unfortunately, he was blind in both eyes. Gida Mishtei Yodav. Nebuchi was an amputee, both of his arms. Kiteh Mishtei Raglav. Nebuchi was an amputee, both legs. V'chol Gufoi Moli Shchin. And his entire body was full of shchin, boils, swelling, like you have in the Asur Makis in Mitzrayim. V'hoyimutu B'Bei Yisru'ua. Oh! And he was lying on a bed in a Bei Yisru'ua, in a very unstable type of shack. The bed legs, the bed posts, were standing in pails of water, so that any ants, chas v'sholem, shouldn't go onto his body. Because after all, there was no way that he could go and kill the ants or shoo them away, because he had no hands, he had no legs, he had nebuch. So therefore, they had it all in pails of water, so that the nemalim wouldn't be able to get to it. Pam achas, one time, like we just had, and Bikshu Talmidim Lefanis Mitosei. The Talmidim decided, you know, we can't allow the Rebbe to continue living in this Bais Ruah. It's dangerous. Any given moment, give a blow, the whole thing can come down. So the Talmidim decided, you know, we're going to be Mefana Mitosei. We're going to remove Nochem Ish Gamzu in his bed. And Yachach Lefanis is a Kalim. After we're done with that, then we'll take out as much furniture and as many svarim and as many kelim as we can. Omlehem. So Nochem Ish Gamzu said to them, Bonai, panu es kelim yacha, panu es mitosi. First go and take everything else out, and then leave me for lost. Why? Shemuftach lechem. I have a reassurance, a heavenly reassurance. Kol zman sheni bebayis, ein habayis noifal. As long as I'm inside this house, it's not going to fall. Pinu was the Caleb, took out the Caleb, Yaakov, Pinu was Mitosai, and at the end, he was the last thing. They went and they moved the Mita, Penofel Abayis, and as soon as everything was removed, guess what happened? We had another surf side. The whole building collapsed. Omlai Tamidim, the Tamidim said, Rebbe, Vchmiachish, Tzadi Gomer Ata, obviously you are a 100% or 1000% Tzadik. Loma Otsu Luchokach. How did this happen? That Nebuch, no eyes and no legs and no arms. What's going on? Omlaham, Bonai. I'll tell you the story. Ani garamta liatzmi, I brought it upon myself. Shepamachas, one time I yisim ahalach baderech, lebeis chomi, I was traveling to the home of my shver. Shver means a father-in-law. For yimin, I had with me masa gimel chamoire, and I had burdens on three donkeys. In other words, very heavy loads on each one. Echad shel machal, one of them was food. V'echad shel mishta, one of them was drinks. V'echad shel mina megadim. Mina megadim usually means delicacies. So presumably means some nice latkes or donuts or something like that. Anyway, so those were the three donkeys. But on Yechad, one poor fellow came by, and he stood there in the path. Rabbi Parnaseini, do me a favor, give me something to eat. I'm starving. Amarti Lois, Nachamish Gamzu said, give me a moment. I'm going to go, come off the chamar, I'm going to park it. Maybe the word park in Ephraim has some sort of a relationship. Anyway, I'm going to go and come down the chamar, and I'm going to go and open up one of my peklech, one of the sacks. I'm going to take out some food. I'm going to give it to you. Unfortunately, says Nachamish Gamzali, he's back to Lifrig Menachamor, Achiyotzis on Nishmosai. This person was so famished by the time I got off the Machamor and I opened up one of the sacks to give him some food. Unfortunately, he already had passed away. Halachdi Menafalti Aparav. So I went over to the Nebuch, the dead body, and I fell down on his face, Viamarati, and I said, I am partially guilty about this person's passing. The Gemara doesn't tell us what he did wrong. If anything, he said the right thing. Give me a moment. I'm going to stop the chamar. I'm going to get down. I'm going to take it out. Apparently, although the Gemara doesn't say it expressly, apparently he would have been able to give him maybe a sandwich that he was holding in his hand or his pocket, or a peach or an orange or something that he had handy. Or maybe he didn't have to stop the chamar. Whilst he's still driving, he could have opened up that sack on the side and taken something out and quickly given it to that individual. The point is that there was some short time interval that could have been avoided, but the Nochem Ish Gamzu was not sensitive to, because he didn't understand or realize that this person was so famished that it was going to take place almost instantaneously. And therefore, Vomarti, so said Nochem Ish Gamzu about himself, my eyes that didn't have Rachmanis and your eyes, Yasumu, they should be blinded. Yodai, my arms, Shleichosu al Yadecha, that didn't have Rachmanis on your arms, on your hands. Yiskadmu, they should be cut, they should be amputated. Raglai, my legs, Shleichosu al Raglecha, that didn't have Rachmanis on your legs. Yiskatu, they should also be amputated. Vliniskaradati, and I wasn't able to cool off Nebuch, my great tension that I had from this whole episode, at Shemarti, until I finally finished off, Gogufi Yehei Mole Shchin, I should be full of Shchin. Amrulai, they said about Nochem Ish Gamzu, not about this, Amrulai, the Talmidim said to their Rebbe, Oyulana, woe is it to Asher Nicho Bekach, that we see you in this poor state. Amrulahem, he responded to them, Oyuli Im Loiri Nisini Bekach, it would have been worse had you not seen me in this state. Meaning that since I sinned to the point that this poor fellow Nebuch passed away, that's the only way I'm going to have any type of tshuva, any type of punishment, if I allow for this midah keneged midah, and therefore this is what's proper and this is what's appropriate under the circumstances. How did he get this interesting name? This is what we were referring to earlier, to Chomilta, to Hava, Solik, Lay, anything that transpired, whether it was good or bad, Omar Gamzu Letoiva. Now we all know the famous Chazal, that a person is supposed to say, Kol di Ovid Rachmana Letav Ovid, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu does is for good. We often don't see the good, we don't realize the good. But everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu does is for good. The obvious examples that you hear from time to time, about people who just were rushing to the airport, they had an important closing, an important this, an important that, and they had to get that plane, and they missed their flight, and they're saying, ay, 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 ma zois osa l'kim lanu, what did Hashem do to me? Hashem knows it, how important that flight was for me. I was going to have a big deal. I was going to hear a shiur from this great Rosh Hashiva. I was going to be able to attend this parlor meeting. I was going to be able to do business, whatever. And now all of those plans are down the drain because they missed the flight. And then you hear 6 hours later, then unfortunately the flight never got to its destination. That Nebuch, it was a terrible crash. And then the person says, no, now I see the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he told us not to go. There was a story like that about, I don't know, 20 years ago. There was a plane leaving from England, the Belzer Rebbe was in town in London, and a lot of Hasidim came for the wedding, and now they are leaving back to America. And they were all had a flight, leaving from Heathrow. They all came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said before they go to the flight, he wants them to stop off first and gesegnen. Gesegnen means to say farewell. Okay, they figured, they set a time that there would be enough time to get to Heathrow and no problem. So they come to the appointed time, and the Gabbai says, I'm sorry, the Rebbe is not ready yet, you have to wait. Okay. So they waited a couple of minutes, another 15 minutes, another hour, whatever. And then finally, the Rebbe let them in, and he held them for a while. And by the time the meeting was over and they headed to the airport, they missed their flight. And they were beside themselves. Oi, 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 gewalt, blah, 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 blah. And they said, why did the Rebbe do that? I mean, the Rebbe knew how important it is we want to catch a flight and get back. And da-dum, da-dum. Anyway, the flight left the airport and went up, and unfortunately, an hour later or so, it went up in flames. It was an explosion. Even till today, there's speculation as to whether Russians did it or somebody else did it, but the missiles were fired against the plane, and I think the Russians said, well, we thought it was a military plane. It was trying to do some sort of secret espionage. Whatever it was, but 189 people or something aboard all passed away. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so whenever something happens, even if it looks like a terrible tragedy, Gamzu L'Toyva, Tosh is not for goods. Sim L'Chod of one time, Bolish Duri Yisrael, Doyim L'Bei Kesar. Klal Yisrael wanted to go and send a nice present to the Bei Kesar. Apparently, the Kesar had done something, either a bad Gzeira, and they're trying to change his mind, or he did a Gzeira Toiva and they're thanking him. So they're sending a beautiful present, a Hanukkah present, to the Bei Kesar. Omru, and they said, Man Yezel, who should be the messenger that should take the present along to the Kesar? They said, Yezel, Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu should go and take the present. This is obviously talking about in earlier years when he still had his hands and his legs. To Meluvim Ben Nissim, who? He is Meluvim Ben Nissim, so just in case anything goes wrong, we can rely on Nochem Ish Gamzu that it'll all go for good. Now, they apparently had some sort of premonition that things could go bad. And in fact, Shodr B'Yodeh, as we'll see, Shodr B'Yodeh Mole Sifta Davonim Toivis Amargolius. They sent as the present to the Bei Kesar a large sifta. Rashi says a sifta is an argoz. Argoz is a box, which is Mole, which is full of Avonim Toivis, all different types of precious stones. Umargolios and pearls. In other words, quite a large fortune in this sifta, in this box. Now, from his town of Gimzoi, or wherever he was traveling from, to get to the Kesar, you had to stop off at least one night in an inn. Is Ozel Bos Bahub Dira, Bahub Dira, and he stopped over Taki in an inn, and they let him in, and they signed him in, and he slept there overnight. Belaila, that night, Kamu Hanuch Diuroi, the people that the innkeepers, they got up, they saw they was schlepping this large, large box, similar to a large suitcase, and they figured, you know what? Maybe there's some gold and silver in there. And guess what? V'shechlinu l'siftei, and they took the box, they opened it up, they saw in it that it was full of Avonim Toivis u'Margolios, they emptied the box, and instead, Umalinu Afra, they filled it up with dirt. Now, if you want to be goyis, what it says in the parentheses, Lamocha the next day, Kichazinu, when Nochem Ish Gamzu realized, uh-oh, there's just a lot of dirt here, a lot of earth, Amri said Gamzu L'Toyim. Or, you can leave these words out, Kimota Hassam, when he arrived in the Beit Kesar, and the Kesar said, what do you have here for me? And he says, a beautiful present from Klal Yisrael. Shirinu l'sifta, they opened up the box. Chazinu and the king, the Kesar, saw the Molu Afa was full of offer. Bo malka l'kmiktalinu l'kulu. When the Melech saw that, he thought that Klal Yisrael was ridiculing him and mocking him. And therefore he wanted to go and be gozer exeter to kill everybody, all the Jews. Omar, komachaychu biyudoi, the Jews are laughing at me. Omar,
can you hear?
I'm sorry? Can you hear? I hear. I hope all of you are listening and hear. Everybody's nodding, so apparently everybody's able to hear. So Omar, he said, Gamzu l'toiva. And in case you can't hear, Brother Shai, Ulza Gamzu l'toiva. You can always listen to the recording. Anyway.
No. It came back.
No, Baruch Hashem. No, Gamzu l'toiva. So now, after the Kesar said that the Jews are mocking me, Omar said, Gamzu l'toiva. It's going to be okay. I'm not worried. Hashem Yisborach has a good plan here. This is already the second time Eliyahu was appearing on the scene in today's Gemara, and he dressed himself like Chad Minai, like one of the advisors to the king. And he said to the king, "Hey, before you kill everybody, he said, maybe this is the magical offer that Avraham Avinu used in his day and age, when he was fighting the battles against the various kings. Perhaps this is the 4 against 5 with the Kedor La'omer battle. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, he would shoot this offer, and it worked. Shod the offer, when he threw offer the earth, havasayfe, it turned into swords. Gili, when they went and threw kash. Kash would be, in this case, straw or reeds. Havagiri, they turned into arrows. Like it says in the Pasuk, Yitin ka offer charboy, that the offer turned into a cherev being a sword, and kikash, kash, or the straw, nidav kashtoy, from that turned into the arrows of the bow and arrow. And therefore, maybe this is miraculous, magical offer. The Kesar was on the a major series of wars and battles, and there was one Medina that they were not able to be kovesh to vanquish. So what they did was, if we cannot work with throwing spears and arrows and normal typical warfare, let's go and throw some of the offer. And guess what? Bot Kamine, they tried it out. They give Shua, and they were kovesh this final Medina. Unbelievable! Said the Kesar, you know what? Ailu lebe ginze. Nochemish kamzu, you can go into my treasure house and take whatever you want. Umalu lesifte avonim toizim argolis. He took now the empty argos, the empty box, and he filled it up yet again with avonim toizim argolis. But this time, of course, it was on the return trip. Not to the Kesar, but from the Kesar. Vishadru, and they sent him away, biyakaraba mitagansa, 18 gun salute, met a military parade to thank them, because after all, the Yidolach were able to help out the Kesar and being kovish the final Medina. Okay, Kiosu, now as he's traveling back home, Baisu Bahahu Diura, he went to sleep and to stay once again in that same Dira. Omrulay, and they asked him, "My Isis Bahadoch, the Abdilach Yakr Kulihai, we see that you got all of this honor and all of this kavod. What did you bring with you? What's in this big sifta?" Whatever I had with me. Oh, so my Isis Badoch apparently means, what did you bring the first time to the Kesar that they gave you all of this honor and they sent you back with this sifta? He said, very simple. My Dishakli Miach, Amtil Hasam. Whatever I took from here, I took there. In other words, the offer that was in the sifta, that's what I took and that's what I gave. When they heard that, they said, "What? We are sitting here on the most valuable earth in the world." And what did they do? Sasu the dirayu. They immediately dismantled the entire dir, the entire inn, to be able to go and dig up the foundations and all the earth underneath. Vamtinu lebei malka. They probably brought 10 U-Haul trucks full of this earth to the Melech, and they said, "Amrulei, hi after the icy, hocham didanhu. You know that offer that you just used the other day to vanquish the final enemy? Guess what? We got tons of it here, and therefore we want to." They didn't say it expressly, but their intent obviously was to come home with 100 argozim full of valuable jewels. Anyway, but good, they checked it out, and of course, it no longer had that magic, because the whole thing was miraculous. And they weren't deserving of miracles. These are a bunch of gangsters. The Karlinu Lahanach Diroi, and the king killed these Diroim. So what appeared to be terrible circumstances, and anybody would say, "Oi, oi, oi, what's going on?" Nochemish Gamzu said Gamzu Latoiva, it's all going to work out beautifully at the end. Since we're saying Hallel these days, Rabbi Sai, as part of Hanukkah, and tomorrow Mi'achem Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh, there's a word that I saw years ago that we say Hoydu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chastoi, and then we say Yom Eno Yisrael Ki Le'olam Chastoi. This seems to be a repetition. Okay, later on we say Yom Eno Beis Aharon, Yom Eno Yiri Hashem. So those are different categories, so to speak. Beis Aharon, I think, is referring to the Kahanim. Yiri Hashem, according to some, is referring to Levim. And therefore, Yom Eno Yisrael is referring to Yisraelim. So there's no repetition, if you will. But didn't we already say Hoydu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chastoi? So one of the Mefarshim says that we know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is letav, kol the Ovid Rachman letav Ovid, gamzu letoiva. But sometimes we cannot see it with our own fleshy eyes because we're only basar v'dams. We know that the master plan is it's all going to work out well at the end. But when it happens, sometimes it doesn't look so rosy, it doesn't look so good. Therefore, we go and declare with absolute bitachon and amunah, Hoydu Hashem ki toiv, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki li'olam chasdei, everything that he does is for chesed, even if I don't appreciate it. But then we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't just give us those good things where we don't see it with our eyes, but rather we have that amunah and bitachon. Mommy, if you want, you can show the kids the deer out here in the windows. Yeah, you can go here to the sunroom.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Oh dear. There's deer over there. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I have some anikluch here.
You don't want the Messiah to the Shabbos.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is, Hoydu Hashem ki toiv k'olam chasdei. We thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. We know with absolute emunah and bitachon ki le'olam chasdei, everything is for chesed. But we ask you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, do those types of chasadim that Yom Eno Yisrael, that a poshut yid should be able to go and scream out, not only based on emunah and bitachon, but based with the reality that we see it with our own eyes. Yom Eno Yisrael ki le'olam chasdei. Kodesh Baruch Hu, do such chasadim that we don't have to try to figure out excuses why this will work out. But rather, we should be able to say initially and immediately, oh, ki le'olam chasdei, everything is chesed, everything is beautiful, everything is good.
That's on Yom Eno Yisrael?
That's on Yom Eno Yisrael. And you can repeat it again, Yom Eno Yisrael, Yom Eno Yisrael, that each one of these categories of Jews shouldn't just have to say ki le'olam chasdei based on pure faith and amunah, but that the actual reality is on the spot that I see with my own eyes, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's great, it's tremendous. Good. So continuing on. Yes.
Parallels the story of Rebbe Akiva, right to the end, where he also Gamzu Latova, different.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, the same thing that the donkey died overnight and there's light and all that. I'm going to. Yeah. Okay, for those of you that are able to see, you see there's the deer that's walking there between the trees. So.
Come to my side.
That's
why
I figured I would show it to you because I showed it to the ankle. Anyway, do you see? Oh, look at this mommy with big antlers. That's already a male, which is not so perfect. Okay, so let's go back to learning. This way you have a chance to see the voice of Boyre. Even though the Mishnah says you're not supposed to say "Kam yof ilan zu," zokti mor vayte. Ezi deber ir hamitzia chamish meyos ragni. We said in our Mishnah that if chas v'shalom this dever once again misane umisras, and the Mishnah said what is considered to be pestilence dever, there have to be a town of 500 men, of which 3 passed away, siriyadam 3 days in a row, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Nebuch. Each day 1 person passed away. That's considered to be a makas dever for which you got to fast. It's Tanur Rabban. We have the Braisa. The Braisa elaborates a little bit further. Iram Mitzia Chamish Meis, the Elif Ragli, 3 times as much, not 500 people, 1,500 men. Kigoin, like Kvar Akoi, the Otzrei Mena Tisha Mesim Bishloishi Yomim Zeh Acher Zeh. It wasn't a situation of 1-1-1 3 days in a row, but it was 3-3-3 3 days in a row, so 9 altogether. Harizah Dever, it's the same proportion. Instead of 3 to 500, it's 9 to 1,500. Mami, a bit still, we can. is biyom echad or bidalad yom. If it's 3 days ze'achar ze, it's dever. If it happened on 1 day or 4 days, ain't ze dever, then it's not considered to be dever. It's got to be 3 days in a row. That's just like the case of our Mishnah. 3 people, 3 days in a row out of a town of 500. How is that Deber? That is Deber. Like we have. But if it's again, then it's not called Deber. Turoikris was the name of a town. Ir hamoitzia chomish meis ragli hava. The yotzim imenish loisha meis miyemachot. 3 people passed away on the same day. Our Gemara is Gores Turoikris. There's another girsa that Rashi says on the fourth line that it's Dioikra. And Rashi says that the reason why it had a name Dioikra, ir shishmo yud, the ktana, al shem shiyud ktana ba'oisius. And therefore, apparently, the way you read it is the Dioi is like yud. Kra, it was called. It was called Yud, or called Dioi. Why was it called? Because it was a small town, only 500 people. There are even smaller towns, but I guess in that area, in that region, it was considered to be a small town. So what happened? There were 500 people, 500 men, and the Yatsumi Menesh Loishiyam Echad on one day. So we said before in our Mishnah and the Braisa, that if it didn't happen 3 days in a row, there is no need to go and be koyde tanis. But nevertheless, goes Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda tanisa. Notice Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. He was koyde tanis. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, another Rav Nachman. Here it doesn't say bar Rav Yitzchak, it just says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. This will be important later on in the story. So what did Rav Nachman Yitzchak say to him? Kiman, how do you paskin? What does this mean? Since we said in our Mishnah that you're only chayv to be goyzer tanis if it's 3 days in a row, and here we're being goyzer tanis just when 3 mason passed away on the same day, so that lechoyra would seem to be inconsistent with our Mishnah. So the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is trying to justify Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda's tanis, and he's saying to him, you probably hold like Rameyer that holds Richek Negichoysev Ischayev Kim Negichoysev Lekoshke. Now what is that referring to? That's the Gemara Masechet Bava Kama, where it says in Bava Kama, the Pasuk in the Chumash in Parashas Mishpatim says, Im Shor Nagach Hu Mitmal Shulshoim V'lo Yishmer Enu Ba'olav Shalim Yishalim Shor Tachas Hashor V'Amesi Yelai. This is what we call the case of a Shor Muad. Shor Muad is also known as a Shor Nagach because it went and killed 3 days in a row. And it doesn't say Befedish 3 days. No, it does say Befedish. What do you mean? It says in the Pasuk, Im Shor Nagach Hu Mitmal Shulshan. Hu means today. Tomorrow is yesterday. Esmoil. Shulshan is 2 days ago. Ah, so this, it was a Shor Nagach that it was Negech. It gored today, yesterday, and the day before. So these 3 days in a row. So now we have a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Is this considered to be a bona fide Shor Muad, where you have to pay full Tashlumin Nezek Shalem, or not? Machlok is Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now, if it happened spaced out 3 separate Negichos, 3 separate gorings, on 3 separate days, everybody agrees that that's what the Torah means, and you have to go and pay Shalem Yishalem. The question is, what happens if all 3 gorings took place in 1 day? Or if they were made about all 3 in 1 day. In other words, it wasn't spread out in 3 days, it was 1 day. What's the story now? Says Rameir, makes no difference. 3 days, 1 day. Aye, but the Pasuk says, Mitmo Shoshine. Says Rameir, Madach Richek Negichoysev Chayiv. Madach, if this animal went and gored 3 days in a row, I say he's Chayiv. Chavada Nevada, if he was Kirim Negichoysev, he did it all 3 in 1 day, the Chavada Nevada is Chayiv. That's where a mayor holds a review that says, no, you learn Pashup Shah, the Pasik 3 days in a row, not 3 in 1 day. Okay, the Gemara Bava Kama Mitzvah will learn in the not too distant future. But what is it to do with our Gemara? What it has to do with that if our Mishnah said that 3 people passed away 3 days in a row, you have to be Goizetanis. So said Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak to defend Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. I know why you are Goizetanis, because you hold like a mayor that Madach 3 in 3 days is the Chavada 3 that passed away or where it died from the Dever in 1 day. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda realized Rav Nachman Yitzchak is a choshev yid, that he was able to bring a raya from Masechtas Bava Kamma to a Mishnah and to an Hanhoga in Masechtas Tanis, and he said, "Leikamar leisa legaban, you know, why don't you come and sit together with us?" It could be that we're talking about in the Bismedish, it could be at a chasana, come to our table. Maybe he said that you should move from where you live and move to us. But the point is, he said, we could use your Torah and your Chachma, come to us. So he responded to Nina, didn't we learn in the Braiser? Rabbi Yossi Omer, the place where a person sits or resides, that's not mechabed him, but the person wherever he is, he's mechabed mekoymoy. And therefore, don't tell me to come to your table or to where you're sitting, and I'll have more covet. Where I sit, I already have the maximum covet. How do I know? She came at Sinai Bahar Sinai. She calls Manjesh Shechina Shriya Olav, as long as the Shechina was there during the time of Matan Torah, Amra Torah, Gamma, Tzim Babakal, Yiru, El Mula Harahu. No one and not even animals should go and graze on the mountain because of the Kedusha of the giving of the Torah in Har Sinai. Once the Shechina left, in other words, after Matan Torah, the Luchas had been given, the Aseres Adibris had been given, and everybody was leaving. Now everybody's able to go up the mountain once again. Ah, but didn't you say that this is a holy mountain? It's holy when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there, when there's Aseres Adibris being given there. But once a Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves, no particular chashivus. So it's not the makim shel adam mechabdoi, it's the adam is mechabed es mekoymei. V'chei matzina b'ayil ma'id, she b'midbar, she calls manchu notui. As we know, in the midbar, Kal Yisrael moved from place to place, altogether 40 masois, and each time that they moved from place to place, they had to, 40 or 42, whatever, approximately. Every time they moved, they had to go and dismantle and then reassemble a Mishkan. She calls Manchu, not as long as the oil moid, meaning the Mishkan, was standing. Send out all the Temeim chutz l'machne. Huglu haparoiches. But once they folded up, so to speak, the Mishkan, and we're moving to our next place, Hutru Zav Mitzrayim L'Kodesh Hashem. That place where 5 minutes ago no Zav Mitzrayim was allowed to walk there, now anybody can walk there, including the Zav Mitzrayim. So you see again, Le'yamokim Chabesadim. So now Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda was really amazed about the godless of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He says, "Yehochi, if that's the case, nekamano legami mar. We're going to pick ourselves up and we're going to come to you because we want to be together with such an Adam Godol that knows so much Torah." Amalei, so now he, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, relented and he says, "You know what? If somebody has to move, mutav yovei mana ben pras, eitzel mana ben mana, val yovei mana ben mana, eitzel mana ben pras. Then rather, I should move instead of you. Because your father was Rav Chizda. My father was Yitzchak." And that's what the Gemara means by saying mana ben pras, that vis-a-vis Rav Nachman, bar Rav Chizda, not only was he an Adam Gadol, but his father was. That's why he got the name Rav Chizda. Or Rav Nachman Yitzchak, although he himself was an Adam Gadol, his father wasn't. And so therefore he said he doesn't think it's proper that Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda should have to move to him. He's going to move to Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda. Well, you have to have a little bit of an understanding how he was able to go and refer to his father as pras. That would seem to be a little bit in negative connotation. But Lamaisa, that's what it says here in the Gemara, that he says, "I would prefer I'll come to you instead of you coming to me." And that's the end of that story, and we go on to the next story. Besura, how this Dibris or Deverta, in Surah there was a Dever. B'shevusi d'Rav lehav Deverta. However, in the Shechinus, in the neighborhood where Rav lived, Baruch Hashem insulated no Dever. Sovru minei mishum tzchusi d'Rav, the Nofish. Everybody in town figured it must be because since Rav lives in that neighborhood, that's why the neighborhood is protected in the schus of Rav. Ischazul bechilma. After that, they showed in a dream that Rav the nefisha schusay tuva hamilza zutulei l'Rav, that Rav's schusim are so great, protecting the local neighborhood. That's a kleinigkeit. That's like petty cash. That's not what we need Rav for. El mishum hu gavra d'shal moru zvila l'kvura. You know why that neighborhood was Zoyche, that Baruch Hashem, nobody died, there was no Dever? Because there was one person who lived there that would always lend out his Moru's Vila. Moru's Vila are digging instruments like a hoe, like a shovel, etc. Likvura, Chas Hashem, anytime a person passed away and they needed the shovel or the hoe, they would come to him and he said, sure, absolutely, I'm doing a Chesed Shalemes for the Levi. And this is considered to be Mida Keneged Mida, because Kvura, of course, means that someone passed away, but by giving his Mora and Zvila, then the Mida was nobody passed away, and that's why in his whole Shechinus they were all protected because of this great Chesed that this Yid did. Similarly, and to you too, Zagi Bench, Brother Shem. Yes, 7 o'clock, sharp in Yetz Hashem. Thank you very much. Afreilich and Chanukah, good in Shabbos, good in Chodesh. Says Yigmar, with Droikris, we had Droikris at the top of the Amid on the second line. Havid Likta, there was once a fire. Mishabus Ravuna, the Avis Likta, Bor Hashem, in the neighborhood of Ravuna, the fire did not spread to his neighbor. And again, Zachamina, the Schusa, this Schusa, the Ravuna, the Nafish. They thought it's because Ravuna. Says Yigmar, no, it's Chazu Bechilma, Haizutrale the Ravuna. For Ravuna, this is a Kleinigkeit, this is really small potatoes. El Mishim Dehi Itza, to Mechamemis, Tanura, Umishaila Shivavusei. There was a lady that lived in that neighborhood. There were a lot of poor neighbors. The average individual didn't have their own private tanur, their own private oven. And therefore, whenever they wanted to bake something, they had to go either to the public bakery, or in this case, or they, you know, borrowed or rented or whatever. They had some sort of financial arrangement with someone to be able to go and bake your challis or your cakes or whatever in somebody else's oven. This lady would always go and heat up her oven, even if she didn't need it for herself. And she gave a free tanner society, free loan society, her tanner to anybody in the neighborhood that wanted to use it. And so therefore, she gave them chayim, because of the fact that you can't live without bread, without, you know, staples. And so therefore, since she gave them life, that's why nobody was affected adversely by the fire in her neighborhood. Amalei of Yehuda, asu kamtzi. Kamtzi are heishrikin. Heishrikin are grasshoppers, but these are very, very bad grasshoppers that unfortunately ruin the crops. Because the Tanisa, he was going to Tanis. Oh, if the kamtz are coming, before they even arrive, I'm going to do a preemptive strike. And he was going to Tanis. Amrulei, so they said to Rav Yehuda, like, come ifsidon. So far, there's no damage, you know. Yet we have the newspaper reports, we get the fake news that the oxymoron is on the way from South Africa, but so far, Baruch Hashem, nobody's died and everybody's okay, you know. Aren't you reacting a little bit in a very heated, overt manner? Amlahu, so Rav Yehuda answered, Zav da Isubadayu, did the kamtzi that are about to arrive on the scene, are they bringing along sandwiches? Zavda means that they're bringing along their own food. Obviously, they're not bringing their own food. So where are they going to eat? As soon as they arrive here in town, they're going to destroy all the crops. So we better be going to Tanis in advance. Omle Rav Yehuda, Ika Moisna Bechaziri. There's unfortunately a plague of Misa that is killing out all of the Chazerim, all of the pigs. So goes to Tanisa, he was going to Tanis. Faith Yomorah, Nemekos Rav Yehuda, Maka Mishulachas, Mimenecha, Mishulachas, Mikol Aminim. We know from our Mishnah that there's an inyan of makkah mishulachas, that a makkah which is contagious, which spreads from place to place. Does that also apply to different minim? Different minim means from animals to people, that we are concerned that this chas v'shalom, this mis is going to kill people. That's why you're going to tan. I mean, the fact that it kills chazerim, halavai, another few chazerim. But the reason why he's going to tan is obviously he had a concern that it would be contagious to people. So, do you hold like Rav Yehuda the makam shalachas, or does Rav Yehuda hold makam shalachas, min min echad, from one min is mishalachas, mikol aminim? It's a lie. No, this is a special case on its own. Shani chazira de damyan me'ayu lebnei inshi. Those that are familiar with the anatomy of pigs know that the infrastructure of a pig, his intestines and the whole digestive system, is very similar in nature to that of Bnei Adam, and therefore if it's Chas V'Sholem and Magefa that's killing the pigs, next thing that we hear is that it spread to the people. I see Shelley is here. Until now, the pigs are only guinea pigs, and from that it might Chas V'Sholem spread to people as well. There's never a magefa in Bechoizoi. Bechazo you have from time to time in Shas, and that was a very remote region. To get to Bechazo you had to go and travel who knows how long and how far, and it was far away. Gemara talks about that they sent a shliach to pick up money from Bechazo and the money got lost en route, and who's chayiv, is a shliach chayiv or not. Anyway, so Bechazo was far away. He heard that there's Misa there, a Magefa, Goza Tanisa. Omalev Amerchik, this is so far! Omar, so he said, Leka Mebra Hocha, to Pasiklei, are there no bridges or ferries that are standing in the way? In other words, what he's saying is there any physical blockage that's going to block this Misa from coming to where we happen to be? The Misa can spread, even if it's far. Okay, it won't come here today. It might be here in a week, it might be here in a month. But eventually it's going to spread. There's no physical, you know, there's no Chinese wall or Mexican wall that's separating us from Bechuzoi that will keep the Misa out. Omli Rav Nachman, Ika Mois Ba'ad Yisrael. Oh, in Eretz Yisrael we heard there's Nebuch HaMagefa. Goza Tanis, he was Goza Tanis in Bovel, in Chutzlarz. Omar, he said, if the Gvira, which is the mistress, the master, the lady master, if she is Loike, if she is being stricken, Shivcha Lekolchkin, the we out in Bovel, in Chutzlarz, we're certainly going to be stricken. So Freitimar, why did Rav Nachman use that expression, Gvira and Shivcha? Tam the Gvira of Shivcha, Dafka, because it hit the mistress first. Therefore, it's going to hit the maidservant, subsequently the Shivcha. Ha Shivcha v'Shivcha Loi, what happens if it wouldn't be a Gvira mit a Shivcha? It would be two places, Lamashal in Bovel. One place in Surah Nerda, and the other place in Bechoy Zoy. Would you say there that I'm not concerned, it's not a Gvira and a Shivcha? V'amr le Shmuel, Ika Moisa Bechoy Zoy, Goza Tanisa. You see, it was Goza Tanis, and he didn't talk about Eretz Yisrael. Everyone Shani also keeping the Ika Shairisa, the love of the Asya, Bahadei. He said that's not a good example, because from Bechoy Zoy, here, the Masa with Rav Nachman wasn't with Bechoy Zoy. The Masa Bechoy Zoy was by the Amr Leid Shmuel, that was the first story. But the next story was Amr Leid Rav Nachman, Ika Moisna Ba'arit Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, he was Moisna. And he was Goza Tanis because the Gevira and the Shivcha. So they said to him, and what about Shivcha and Shivcha? Amr Leid Shmuel, that was the previous story. In Bechoy Zoy, it was Goza Tanis, even though here in Shmuel lived. Where did Shmuel live, Barry? Remind us, where did Shmuel live?
In Argoi.
So therefore he lived in Neredoi, which was presumably far away from Bechoy Zoy, but they were both in Bavel, so they were both Shivcha or Shvachais, and Shmuel said, let's be Goyza Tanis. So why are you telling me Davka from Eretz Yisrael, from Gvira to Shivcha? Evdim Arshani also given the Ika Shairza, the love of the Asim Adai, because of the fact that there were caravans that, I guess, I don't know if how frequently, but from time to time, went from Neredoi all the way to Bechoy Zoy and back. So therefore, that's why Shmuel said, it's going to happen eventually. Masha'in came from Eretz Yisrael to wherever Rav Nachman was. Apparently, they did not have frequent travel. And therefore, there's much less of a concern, except for the fact that if Hashem went and hit the Gvira, then certainly, eventually, it will hit the Shivcha. And our final stories for today, the Gemara tells us about Abba Umna, Hava, Abba Umna, in this case, in this story, was the great Tzadik Hador, so much so that they sent him Shalma, Sholem, they sent him greetings from the Mesifta Rekia, the Besmeder Shalmala, Kol Yoyma, every single day. Every day they sent him an email from up above, from the heavens, greeting him. Ulabai Abai only got a Kolmal Yom the Shabbat, that means every Friday. Rov only got a Kolmal Yom the Kippuri every Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, once a year. Have Kochol Shadaita de Abaya, Mishim de Abba Umna. So Abaya felt bad and he said, what? Abba Umna is even greater than me? So he felt very bad. And remember, the Gemara said earlier, I think we had this in Rosh Hashanah, that Abaya together with Rabba or Rova, depending on the Girsa, were Einikloch of the Beis Eli. And although all the Bnei Eli and the future descendants passed away at a young age, like 18, Abaye was zeicha tarichas yamim of 60 years, because of the fact that he was oisik b'toyra and gemilas chesed. So Abaye was a great person, toyra gemilas chesed. He had that was able to tone down the gzeira of the Beis Eli, and yet Amba Umna was greater than him. So now Amrulei, they said to Abaye, don't feel bad. There's no way that you can go and do the masim toivim that Abba Umna does. So tell me a little bit about Abba Umna. The Abba Umna, the word Uman over here, Uman, as you know, normally means an expert, a professional. Here the word Umna means a bloodletter. And as many of you know, and we have this in the Gemara from time to time, that before the Common Era, years ago, people that had high blood pressure, the way to relieve the blood pressure was not taking blood pressure pills, but rather by literally letting out some of the blood to relieve the person from all of the pressure. So Abba, that was his business, or at least that's, he was a professional in this, and he was a bloodletter. So Oved Miltza, on those days where he was letting out blood, he had a big waiting room, and there was a machitza down the middle, had men on one side, ladies on the other side. The Isle Lavusha, the Ispe Karni, he had a special, like, hospital gown, if you will, that they would go and dress the patient in. The Ispe Karna, it had an opening where you were able to go and insert the Havis Bezia Ki Kusilta. Bezia Ki Kusilta means to go and insert the instrument that was used to draw the blood from the patient who needed draw letting. So Kihava. When a woman would come as one of the patients, have a malbishla, he made sure that she would dress with this special gown, so he should never have to go and look at her skin, at her body. Meaning, since it was already a pre-arranged karna, a pre-arranged little hole somewhere that would go, for instance, into the shoulder or to the arm, wherever it was, he wouldn't have to go and say, roll up your sleeve for me to go and let out the blood, or like nowadays, to go and give a shot. There was a pre-arranged little hole there in this gown, so that he wouldn't have to go and look at her. Just insert the instrument into the hole. The Islay Duchtus, that was one thing, or actually two things: one, the machitza in the waiting room, and number two, the fact that he was so careful about the tznias of his patients. The Islay Duchta the tznia the shodi bei pshiti. He charged, of course, for his services, just like a doctor would charge, whatever the charge was. But instead of sending bills or having the lady at the counter ask for your credit card or whatever it was, there was a mukam tsunua somewhere in the corner, so to speak. In other words, like a little pushkala that you were able to go and put your amount in, whatever the charge was. Okay, the shodi bei pshiti, the shokel. The islay shodi bei, the leslay loy mixiv. So since it was in a mukam tsunua, you really couldn't tell whether people were putting money into the pushka or not. I guess everybody would go to that corner and would do some sort of motions with their hands. So this way, somebody who had money, shodibay, he would go and throw the money into the pushka over there. So lastly, a person who did not have any money, loy mixif, he wasn't embarrassed because he couldn't see what he was doing. And now the reverse. When a Talmud Chacham would come to this doctor, to Abba Umna, Agri b'nei lo yishakel, he would not take any charge. In other words, free services for the Talmud Chacham. Ubasa dekoi, and as he was leaving, when he got up from the bloodletting, presumably after bloodletting, you probably have to sit down for a few minutes and you drink something, etc. Just like when you do a blood transfusion today, or you get one of these COVID shots, they have you sit for a while. So when he was getting up, yovel pshita, he would go and give the patient money. Not that the patient would give Abba Umna, he would give the patient money. But Omalani would tell him, "Zil bri nafshach. Now that you let out so much blood, you have to replenish it. Here's a few dollars. Go and buy for yourself some food and some drink to replenish all the blood." Yoimachad, one day, Shodar Abaya Zuga Drabana Lemivdike. Abaya heard about all this, but you know, Ein Doma Shmila Re'ia. So he sent a couple of Rabbanan to go and be bodic to see. Let's see if this is really true, and let's see how holy Abba Umna really is. So now when they came to Abba Umna, Oisvinu, he had them sit down, Vyachlinu, and he gave them food, Vashkinu, he gave them to drink, Umachlahu Bistarki Balaila. And he said to them, "I see you are tourists or visitors in town. Do you have anywhere to stay?" And they said, "No." "You know what? Here, you can stay here in this room." He took Bistarki. Bistarki are basically bed linens and bed covers. He folded them all up, he put them down on the floor, and he said, "Here, make yourselves comfortable, you can sleep here." Letzafra, the next morning, Karchinu, they went and wrapped up all of these linens and all of these covers, v'shaklinu, and they took them out. In other words, they stole them. V'kamu v'nafkalu l'shuk, and they went out to the shuk to go and sell them. And now he, Abu Umna, realized that he no longer had these extra beddings, and he had to go and buy new ones. V'ashkechinu, and he found these culprits, these talmidim of Abaya, that they had taken it. Have a good Shabbos and good Chodesh. You too, Shelly. Thank you. It's only another couple of lines. Anyway, v'ashkechinu, and he found them, and he saw that they were selling his beddings. Amrulay. So the talmidim said to him, to Abu Umna, l'shaymi mar, hey chishavi. You know, there's no set price. Why don't you tell us how much you think these are worth and how much you're willing to pay? Amrulay hachi v'achi, I think they're worth, let's say, $50. Amrulay, v'dim l'shavu tzvein, maybe they're worth more and you're trying to get a bargain. Amrulay, hibachi shaklinum. That's how much I paid for them when I bought them a year ago. Amrulay, didachninu. In fact, these belong to you, v'shaklinum inach, and we took them from you. Amrulay, and now they told him, the word matus means like b'machila. We ask you respectfully. B'maychar shadatina. Will you choshit us that we stole it? Why we stole it? Amalei Abu Umna said, I didn't have any chshad that you were doing something wrong. To the contrary, Amin, I said to myself, pinyin shvuyim miklul rabbanan v'chsiful emaymali. Probably you have a big mitzvah pinyin shvuyim, and you're embarrassed to even go and tell me about it. And that's why you needed to raise funds, and that's why you're here in town, and that's why you took my beddings to sell it and to make some money. I think it's Ben Yehoyada that says, why would they be embarrassed to go and ask for funds for Pinyin Shvuyim? After all, Pinyin Shvuyim is a very noble cause. Why would they be embarrassed? So I think it's Ben Yehoyada that says that he was afraid that they were related to the person who was in jail, and therefore maybe the person who's in jail maybe is on some sort of criminal charges, and therefore he said to himself, Abu Umna, maybe the reason why they don't want to ask me is because they don't want me to think poorly of them, that they have a relative who's behind bars, who's been taken to captivity, who knows for what reason. And that's why they didn't want to tell me, and that's why they took the beddings to raise some funds. Amrulay, so they said back to him, Hashem Mishkalinu Ma, you were, Baruch Hashem, you were automatically melamed tzchus on us, we thank you. Here we give you back the beddings, they're all yours. Amrulahu, so said now Abu Umna to them, Meushata, from that moment that I saw that you had taken them, Aschasinu midatoi litzdaka, I was already Mesiach Das, and I said, you know what, if they took it for tzedaka, it should let it be for tzedaka, and therefore I'm not going to take it back. And that's, you see, the great masim of Abu Umna, about which Abaya was quote-unquote jealous. Rava in turn was upset about Abaya, that Abaya had the benefit of getting greetings from Shemayim every Friday, and he only got it once a year. Amrulay, so they told him, and he saw the Bach adds, they told him, B'chalma, in a dream, Mistayach, be happy to come Magnus Akula Karcha. You have enough schusim Rava that you can protect the entire city where you live, Mechayza. As we know, Rava did not think highly about all of the people in Mechayza. So he said, because of you, Rava, that you happen to be the rabbi in Mechayza, you're Megan, you protect all of the people there from Chas V'Shalom, any type of Magefa. So that's the great, great schusim that you have. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai. Have a happy Chanukah, Freilich and Lechtig and Chanukah, a good Chodesh, a good Shabbos to one and all. Thank you all for listening and for participating.